If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is our new release show on One Heat Minute, where we talk about the movies that are right fresh at the screen. We're often doing deep dive projects on older films that we feel like are so worthy for the canon, they need more discussion or like time in the review. But today, we're here to talk about something super fresh and something that's making money at the box office and something that, and I do allow it only for the IMAX projectionists who like send the most tantalizing shots from an IMAX projectionist view of the amazing feats of cinema that still make their way to IMAX. It is Project Hail Mary, and today it is Project Hail Katie Walsh here on the show. Come on, Blake. That was cheap even for you. No, it wasn't. That's not the worst joke you've ever heard me tell on a podcast by far. No, it's my legendary friend Katie Walsh, terrific film critic, also teaching the youth of today as well, just doing our best to not allow them to think that AI reviews are a thing. Katie, you saw Project Hail Mary. We're going to listen to the trailer really quickly. I can't wait to talk to you about this one. Phil Lord, Chris Miller, Ryan Gosling, Sandra Hüller, and a rock. Here we go. Here's the trailer.
Please state your name.
Ryland Grace. I just woke up from a coma.
I'm several light years from my apartment.
And I'm not an astronaut. I'm not an astronaut. I'm not an astronaut.
If you don't go, you die. With the rest of us.
The sun is dying.
You are the only scientist who might know what this is.
I'm just a teacher at Grover Cleveland Middle.
You have a doctorate in molecular biology. I need you to come with us.
This is Project Hail Mary.
The sun is not the only star dying. Every star was infected by its neighbor, except one.
Why?
We don't know.
Which is why we built a ship to go there and find out.
It's 11.9 light years away.
The astronauts die in space.
It's what you Americans would call a long shot.
Hail Mary. I get it.
Who on earth is going to sign up for this?
If we do nothing, everything on this planet will go extinct.
You'll find a solution.
You are my solution.
I put the not in astronaut. I've never done anything. I've never done a spacewalk. I can't even moonwalk.
I understand the stakes. I do. But my place is in the classroom.
The world is counting on you.
This might be very hard for you to understand. But some people are not good at things.
You know who you are. You're gonna do great.
I conquered Zero G in 5 hours. Yeah!
Object approaching.
Oh my god. So, I met an alien.
He's kind of growing on me. At least he's not growing in me, you know, which was a concern for a little while.
I'm Grace.
I'm gonna call you Rocky.
Thumbs up. Nope, that's thumbs down. We do the thumbs up. It's close enough.
Okay, Katie. I in Australia, I don't know about you, because I know in LA you guys have like such great theaters, but in Australia they did a press screening, a kind of smallish, it wasn't like a huge over-the-top press screening, that was just going to be in a normal theater, and that was a couple of weeks ago, which is why it might seem a bit weird that I haven't yet spoken to you. So many people have like already seen it, but I specifically waited for a night that I could go to IMAX and see this bad boy, because I was like, I'd seen some of those great IMAX projectionist shots. I'd heard people say it was IMAX movie, you know, one of the IMAX movies you had to see this year. And I was like, I'm not going to see it anywhere else. I caught it. I had a terrific time. What did you think of Project Hail Mary?
I like it. Yeah. It's a nice movie. It's really well made. I think people are having a really fun time with it. I'm so glad it's an original film that's like making a lot of money. It's a feel-good movie. I am sort of like, I find it a little bit saccharinely sweet.
Yes. Martian of it. The Andy Weir of it. I think, yes, we're going to have this same. If there's one criticism, it is this thing that you're talking
about. Yeah, it's a little cutesy, but like, it's so well made. It's beautifully photographed and like, Ryan Gosling's super hot. He's really funny. The Rocky is everyone's new favorite creature. I just think that like it sort of, and maybe this is the Andy Weir of it, it just like undercuts its own pathos.
Yes.
Every time. And I was like, let me see some sad shit.
Yes. So this was my major. So Andy Weir was the writer behind The Martian. This was my major criticism when everyone
of the book.
He wrote the book, which was then adapted for the Ridley Scott film from last year. And this is,
Eleven
years ago.
Oh, 11. Thank you.
It's exactly
a couple years ago.
Why I know it's 11 is because we did it on the Decade Project. And I remember having a conversation at the time going like, everyone I went to see The Martian with was like, that ruled. And I'm like, yes, these are the things we can agree on. The idea that humanity is unselfish and can live these glorious pursuits where we do mm-hmm. these huge things together for the sake of our entire existence and species always gets me jazzed. Like there's that terrific Apollo 11 doc from a few years ago where they reassembled all that like footage of 70mm gorgeousness of like the moon landing and the launch, Apollo 11 launch. Incredible. Incredible. So I had the same experience with this. The one things that probably tipped me in the more positive edge over Project Hail Mary, which is much more sort of sci-fi than sort of like speculative fiction, if you like, of The Martian, is the idea that the sun is dying. There's this virus, in case you didn't get it from the trailer, that is attacking and can survive, sun rays and stars all around the galaxy. They find out that just in our sort of immediate neighborhood, if you like, there's one planet that is surviving this, which is not killing the suns and therefore the worlds that orbit around them. And so Ryan Gosling is sent unwittingly, basically, to the other side of the universe to find this, to find this planet, to study it, to see what he can do to return. And he meets up with alien Rock, who he nicknames Rocky, and they sort of work together through the language barriers, through the species barriers, to sort of figure this out together. What I did like about this one was that there's enough space madness and chaos at the beginning, because I love a space. I can't imagine how profoundly lonely and scary it would be to just be in space, like to be that far away from other people, especially for some circumstances on his mission. He's alone on this spaceship. And so seeing that all happen and unfold in the early parts, I was like, oh, this is kind of almost like retconning my opinion of The Martian, which is like that movie didn't have enough space madness. It had lots of glib Matt Damon telling you he's going to science the shit out of potatoes or whatever. Like it just didn't, it just was kind of like, it didn't jive for me, but this had so much good stuff there. And then it was probably, you know, without, I'm not going to spoil anything, but just, and people have read the book have already sort of understood what's happening. It's just kind of how and where the movie ends. Probably like it didn't knock me out. It wasn't a knockout blow. It was just like,
no, the ending is, let's just say it, it's fucking dumb. I'm sorry. I'll be that person.
No, you can be that person. Cause I was just going to say, like, the ending really, it was a real disappointing. I mean, the only other way I can describe it is just when I think I'm allowed to flirt with my wife, one of my kids comes into our bedroom and I'm like, great. Yeah, that's the way to end the night. This is just not going anywhere. I just was completely disappointed by the ending.
I think that's in the book. I haven't read Project Hail Mary, but a friend of mine was like, oh, I read the synopsis, and like the where it ends is where Andy Weir ends it.
Yes.
And it is completely in keeping with the tone of the piece, which is very sweet, very like, if you think this is going to go in a dark direction, it won't.
No, this is a four quadrant movie. Yeah. Everyone can see it. They want everyone to see it and have a great time.
And maybe I just, you know, want something a little edgier than that. But, you know, I the ending didn't quite work for me. I was sort of like, really? But I will say, so I saw it at a press screening at the TCL Chinese IMAX.
Wow.
And it was with all these, like, all the junketers, and people lost their minds for this movie. Like, people were cheering and clapping, and then the movie ends and this woman in front of me stood up and started dancing through the credits. Like, she was standing in her seat. Really? Like, oh, woo, 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 woo. And I was like, oh my god, like, this movie's gonna be a hit. Like, whatever my cynical ass thinks about it does not matter, because people want this. Like, I think also, like, people are finding it to be like a balm, and especially this idea that the entire planet is going to come together to save each other and ourselves, and that there's going to be intergalactic cooperation for saving our planets, is like so opposite of what is happening in our own reality right now, that it's like so soothing to watch this.
Yes.
And to have it delivered by like Ryan Gosling with his little, like, his little blonde hair and his little like slutty glasses and his little sweater. And
I'm going to show Katie. He's doing the girl with a dragon tattoo, sluttiest way a man can wear his glasses thing. And
I'm also like, why does anybody wear their glasses like that?
No, it's and it goes back even further. I can't remember who Bilger Beery mentioned that, where it came from, but it's like, that's the kind of like, that's the sluttiest thing Daniel Craig does in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, is wear his glasses like Gosling, like, does. And
ooh,
just all ajar, slightly tilted, kind of weirdly splayed across his face. No, but the other thing I would say is, so we're talking about the ending for both of us didn't necessarily work, but man alive, Phil Lord, Chris Miller are fantastic. I love their work. I particularly think that they're Into the Spider-Verse, and Across the Spider-Verse too, but Into the Spider-Verse I think is probably hands down the best superhero movie like I've ever seen. Like, animation, like the quality of it, the storytelling, the heart, amazing movie, love it. Drew Goddard is such a workman of all genres, who kind of goes along and just gets storytelling fundamentals. So his adaptation is clearly on rails. Like, they do their best with it. But Gosling is just like,
he has never been better.
he isn't like too. He's it's the whole movie is him. The whole movie yes. is him by himself in a room, and you're like, you can't take your fucking eyes off this guy. It's amazing.
No, and he's also like, how does he look like that? I mean, he. I was like, I can't.
Katie
Ball's
asking the important
looks.
Question. No, he's like. He's like those shots of Paul Newman when he's like 50, like racing a car, and you look at him and you're like, "Why do I even bother going to the gym? Like, why don't
should be taking it as inspiration.
I ultimately do, but what starts is despair when you see it. You're like, "Fuck this, man!
I mean, he just looks so he's so hot, and he's in that Gosling wheelhouse, which is like. Doing little shrieks and like
he does have a
he's
really
being a
amazing
goofy
shriek.
He's being a goofy Gus, and part of what I think is like fun about the beginning of the movie with all the I think you were talking like when he wakes up in space alone is he's like
I don't want to do it,
go on a spacewalk, no no thank you. You know, and he's a scientist. We come to find out that he's a scientist. He's not an astronaut. He's a science teacher. He's very reluctantly involved in this, you know, plan to save the Earth. And, you know, the film has a nonlinear structure. So it goes back and forth between the planning where we see, you know, Sandra Hüller and Lionel Boyce and all these other people who are sort of forcing him to do this. And he's like, I can't do this. But I think what works about the nonlinear structure is that we watch him do it.
Yes.
So even as, you know, we see him already as this highly competent, very practical engineer and scientist in space, figuring things out by necessity. And then we go back and he's totally insecure and totally, you know, doubting himself. But it's like, we've already seen him do the thing. So we know that he can do the thing.
And Sandra Hüller is the secret sauce of this movie. She is so fucking good in this movie. And she's only got like, she has not got a lot to chew. This is not like Anatomy of a Fall. Like she's not like got a whole movie to chew on with all these amazing scenes, but holy, just her presence in the movie, her starkness, the contrast between Goofy Gosling and her kind of seriousness.
Yeah.
But you can see that, you see, you know, that it's like that great Jim Carrey quote where like about working with Tommy Lee Jones, who's like, he can't,
sanction buffoonery.
He can't sanction his buffoonery, but Sandra Hüller underneath can sanction his buffoonery. Like, you can tell she's
sanctioning the buffoonery.
She's having a great time, even though he's a very funny and quirky guy.
Well,
she's
that like juxtaposition.
Yes, it's
and
great.
She's very stern and East German, and Gosling is like wearing his little sweaters, and they make this man so millennial coded. Can I say he's so millennial coded? He's like, I've got a little science pun t-shirt on and like little like ringer socks and like, but the thing is that what I do like about the design elements is that the color palette is warm.
Yes.
And like, he's wearing corduroy, his spacesuit is red, he's got little t-shirts on. Like, it's not a space movie that's like white and blue and gray and stark. It's like warm, and the score by Daniel Pemberton is very like inquisitive, and it's this like, you know, percussion, and it's not like it's a sci-fi movie that like kind of tests your expectations of what a sci-fi movie like should look and sound like, and what the hero should be like. He's not stoic, he's like confused and processing externally.
Yes. And I love that all of his, there's no interiority in him in that inquisition. It's just like, he just says what he's thinking. Oh, okay, well, this is the, and he sort of does a silly joke or whatever. And you have to, I do so agree. It's like, everything about this movie is so like fantastical and beautiful to look at. That's the other thing. It's like, not only is it well performed, not only are people charming, it looks fucking amazing. Pemberton's score, I agree, is completely great. And then it just has, you know, some huge highlight moments that are just staggering. And I went with a bunch of like movie crazy people, like normal, you know, film fans, and they all loved
normies
and they loved the movie. They had a great time, and I also had a really good time, and I was so grateful that I got to see it on IMAX. It's really great, and I think it's like that one, in case you were wondering,
Yeah.
Like the last movies, you know, we've got Michael B. Jordan. We knew that. But we kind of like know that like Ryan Gosling's the next guy of that age group that is the reliable movie star. Like he's one of the last ones. It's not really Glenn Powell at the moment. It's, you know, we've got our girl. We've got Margot Robbie, of course. But it's like Margot, it's Ryan Gosling, it's Michael B. Jordan. They're kind of like the movie stars that aren't 60 plus. Like they're kind of it. Like there's a few others, but like they're the kind of last ones. That's it.
We're making more.
I know they're coming.
We're going to get there.
They're coming through. They will.
Yes. Timmy, come on, Timmy.
Oh, sorry, Timmy.
Say what you will.
No, so, Timmy. Sorry, I missed Timmy. And Zendaya too. That probably quintet, that those guys are pretty solid. And then you've got the, you know, I think Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. But
I think he's 58. Like, he never tells people his age.
You think he's 58?
Yeah. He never tells people his age. Every interview, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm so millennial. I'm like a Gen Z. And, like, there was a great interview with him and
with Jennifer Lawrence.
And she's like, how old are you? And you're not that young. And so, yeah, I don't know what age he is. And you get Tom Holland, who's, like, obviously Spider-Man. He just hasn't really broken
through. He hasn't been in anything in a while. Robert Pattinson would be like at that echelon, but he keeps choosing like weird little tiny things, which is fine. And he should. And that's his right.
Because he was in the Twilights. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like for the longest time, he's like, I'm not going to do big movies because I'll just do these little ones.
I do think Kristen Stewart also is a movie star. But again, she's like making her own films. She's doing other things. Like she's not pursuing these like we need to open at $80 million opening weekend type of movies. And like. I mean, I would like to see Ryan Gosling kind of like do, you know, Place Beyond the Pines again or something that's like tests his range because he has kind of been in this like Fall Guy, Barbie, Project Hail Mary mode where he's like in a very comfortable wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it's not like Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise are breaking out of their comfortable wheelhouses.
Except for our little news that Tom Cruise is being courted to play the villain in Miami.
Well, let's see if that is legitimate.
Could be complete bullshit. Could be complete bullshit.
But if it's Joseph Kaczynski doing Miami Vice, I mean, they have a relationship.
They sure do. It would be their third movie together. And why not get him to play a villain in another Michael Mann originated source material kind of thing?
Exactly.
But no, I agree. So, but what it said to me was like, oh, like, for us who've loved Ryan Gosling since Half Nelson or, you know, adored him when he was doing little cheeky Derek Chanfrance movies like around the place, you're like, oh, yeah, like this is one of our guys. You know, this is like a massive hit. I think it's going to be and this is one I would recommend to so many people just knowing like, hey, you can't be really offended by this. You're going to have a really great time.
It is so rare that you get those recommend to anyone movies.
Yes.
And like you said, going with your friends who aren't really movie people, like I think it is breaking through beyond, you know, like movie nerds. And so that's why it is such a hit. And like, I do think that it does have a message that like we can all resonate with and that we're all sort of like craving at this time. So I'm happy to see it doing so well. And I think it was the perfect time to open a movie like this because everything else is kind of terrible.
Every morning you wake up with some befuddling news and scary news and terrible news, some awfulness. And the concept of like and how it makes you reminisce of real things where people really got together to work for the like the future of the species together. Like it's that stuff will always get me. Like, if I want to feel balm, or like, you know, in this shitty world, I'll go back and watch that Apollo 11 documentary and watch thousands of people, educated scientists, people, regular folk, rally around a cause to do something incredible for the species, and it'll make me feel good. And it just does. And that's kind of what this movie does for you on a completely fantastical sci-fi version of that. And if I want to see Sandra Hüller do like awesome karaoke and Ryan Gosling squeal and look completely hot in space, and a little crazy new alien creature named Rocky that everyone is going to completely get behind and rally, like this it's got all these ticks. And I want to give the greatest shout out to our mutual friend Roxana Haddadi, who said Ryan Gosling's greatest loves are his jackets in a recent article for Vulture, which I think is the ultimate take of this, because yes, his sweaters are aspirational, his jackets are aspirational. And yeah, this movie is really excellent. I had a fun time. The ending was a step too far, but just the experience whole thing. I can't discount like 80-90% of the movie. I was like, I really like this. It feels great. It looks great. And the performers are excellent. And it was a definite crowd pleaser. Multiple of the people I was working out with were like, I love that movie. I love it. Yeah. I love Rocky. I love Gosling. That was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a little too long.
It is definitely, that whole like last sort of 15-20 minutes, I'm like, let's go, guys. We could have.
Right. Whenever they introduce a new like conflict, like 2 hours into the movie, I'm like, oh boy.
Oh boy.
But
I went to a 9:30 PM screening and I walked out at 12:08 and I was like, wow, that was wow.
Wow, I guess they didn't play that many trailers then.
There was not really any trailers. The last screening, that's the secret sauce of IMAX. Yeah. So people in Sydney, the last screening of the day has two trailers straight into the movie.
Okay, life hack. And I also will just say, but yeah, it, like Greg Fraser, the cinematographer who shoots the Dune movies, like it looks amazing. I don't know. I just echo everything that you say because it is a great film. And it is what we need right now, quote unquote. But if you like Sandra Hüller doing inexplicable karaoke, please stream Tony Erdmann by Marinade.
Just go and find it. Go and find it right now. Yeah, Tony. I mean, she's
Tony Erdmann is that incredible. Movie. That was the first Sandra Hüller film I saw.
It was the first mine too. I saw that and I was like, who is this? Firstly, I was like, who is this person? Who is this director? Who is this person?
And where is Maren Ade's next film?
Yeah.
Unless she's made one, I didn't know about it. But I think she's producing a lot. But anyway, stream Tony Erdmann.
Tony Erdmann. We've given some good recommendations here. Space Madness movies. This is a nice Space Madness, but if you want to see Sandra Hüller more.
Yeah.
Tony Erdmann, if you've never heard of it. Katie Walsh, you're the best. Thank you so much for chatting to me about this. And hopefully we can get back together to talk about another new movie soon.
We will.
Or something else, because we've got The Minsider coming up. It keeps being delayed, but I'm getting onto that. The Minsider, we've got to talk about that together. But we'll talk about something. And on the Decade Project, I'm just going to give people a preview. We've got one on our list for this year.
What is it?
You're like, oh my God,
what did I sign up for?
Raw.
Oh shit. Okay. I'm ready. I can do it.
From the biggest four-quadrant crowd-pleasing movie to a movie about a veterinary school where they dabble in cannibalism, that's the breadth of what we can do here with Katie Walsh on One Heat Minute. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you guys for listening. You guys are the best. Katie Walsh is always the best. Go follow her, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.